So let's see what sort of justice we are talking about and what injustice we are talking about. Before that, look at this hadith. This is from Sunni sources, Abu Nu'aym. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تنقض الساعة حتى يملك الأرض رجل من أهل بيتي يملأ الأرض عدلا كما ملأت جورا. So the hour would not pass. That's the hour of the day of judgment. That's meant by hour. The day of judgment will not come until a man from my Ahlul Bayt would own the earth. That means he will be the king. Everyone would obey him. And he will fill the earth from justice as it has been filled from injustice. And the continuation of the hadith says he will rule for 7 years. I wanted to delete that as well but it is left in translation, you see. Because that is not certain. So we have contradictory things in different traditions, and we don't want to go into these sticking issues. Also, another hadith, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri from the Prophet, peace be on him, he said that, أُبَشَّرُكُمْ بِالْمَهْدِ, I give you good tidings about Mahdi. He will rise in my ummah during shocking division among people. Shocking division among people. And the Arabic word is zilzal, ikhtilafum min al-nas zilzal, something which shakes the whole world and humanity. That is when he comes. فَيَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ عَدْلًا وَقِسْطًا. He will fill the earth with justice and equity after it's filled with oppression and corruption. The inhabitants of the heaven and the earth are pleased with him. Inhabitants of the heaven, now this may mean people of other planets, does it? I mean, it may. Actually, there is some allusions in the Quran that there are other living beings in other planets. Now, this is of course a very equivocal sort of expression. Ahlus Samsakanus Sama may mean the angels, because they live in the spiritual Sama. And Sakanus Sama may mean people who live on other planets. يَرْضَ عَنُ سَاكَنُ السَّمَا وَسَاكَنُ عَجِي يَقْسَمُ الْمَالَ سَحَاحًا. He will distribute the wealth correctly. And someone asked, what is correctly? He said, equally. Now, we will discuss about this equality, because that's a very, very sensitive issue. Why everyone should get equal share of wealth. We discuss when we come to the aspect of wealth. And there's another hadith. أَمَا وَاللَّهَ لَيَدْخُلَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ أَدْلُهُ جَوْفَ بُيُوتِهِمْ كَمَا يَدْخُلُ الْحَرُّ وَالْقَرُّ. By God, his justice enters inside their homes as enters heat and cold. Let me see, do we have other traditions? No. Okay. Let's discuss this one. Is not the earth filled with injustice now? What sort of injustice we are talking about when we say the earth is filled with injustice, and then he will come and establishes justice? And justice may mean in terms of economy, and it may mean in terms of many other different things, injustices which are on the earth at the moment or maybe later on. Do you think that the earth is already filled with injustice? Not filled, still not to the brim. Injustice is there, but not filled to the brim, isn't it? Now, in some traditions, yes. وَضْءُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ فِي مَوْضِعِهِ الْعَدْلِ وَضْءُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ فِي مَوْضِعِهِ. Yes, of course. That's justice. Yes. But is everything out of its place now? Or it will be? Now, in some traditions, we have that certain things will happen before him coming. And one of them is, of course, Dajjal. Dajjal is mainly a Sunni concept, not a Shia concept. It comes in Sunni traditions mostly. I don't know why our traditions have not discussed Dajjal in detail. Maybe this is not something important that I should have alluded to it. But there are certain things, like, for example, the Quran says that the Day of Judgment comes after حَتَّى إِذَا فُتَحَتْ يَعْجُوجُ وَمَعْجُوجُ وَهُمْ مِنْ كُلَّ حَدَبٍ يَنْسِلُونَ. When the Ya'juj and Ma'juj are let loose and they create huge corruption on the earth, huge injustice. They kill, they don't pass by anything until they destroy, unless they destroy. So, we don't know who Ya'juj and Ma'juj are, okay? We don't know. But they are let loose means that they find power. They can do things that previously they couldn't do. Maybe by nuclear bombs or something like that. We don't know. I mean, the earth would be in a way that no one wants to live on it. It would be a terrible, terrible thing. Like these science fiction films you see after the Third World War, what happens on the earth, you see? What happens on the earth after the Third World War? This is probably a situation where, after which Imam Alayhi Salaam will come. So, as it was said, we have justice still. It's not full injustice. Still we have people talking about justice, having sort of certain rights, courts, other things. Although values are changed, and many of these changed values are not consistent with Islamic values, with spiritual values anyhow, but still, maybe this is not what is meant by the earth being filled with injustice. So we have to still wait for the worst. This is now still very good. We are still living in a good world. Then there will come a time when people cannot tolerate living on earth. That is when, of course, the Imam, inshallah, will come. Or maybe this is our guess. Maybe this is our imagination. Maybe now is the time for him to come. The only thing is that one issue that we have to bear in mind, things happen which are similar to certain things mentioned in tradition, and people rush to say, oh, this is the sign of Imam coming. This is the sign of... You know how many times these things have happened during the history? So we shouldn't rush into this sort of prediction that now the signs of Imam's coming is quite clear and he's going to come soon. This is, as I said, people have done this in the past and have been absolutely disappointed by what they have guessed about the situation. So, the injustice is something which would make everyone uncomfortable on the earth. They cannot really live and breathe. Now, what he does, the second thing which happened is that the faith would increase and the sin would be reduced. One reason for that may be because people are now tired of faithlessness. Faithlessness have created injustice, immense injustice on earth. I'm talking about that time. Faithlessness have created immense injustice, greed, oppression, have created an environment which people do not like to be faithless anymore. They want to find a way towards a better life, and of course, what better than faith? So when he comes, the faith would increase. And people would not like to sin anymore because they have seen what is the consequences of sin. What are the consequences of sin? And that is why, look at this hadith, evil will go away and good will persist. This is not a magical sort of thing that he comes and he says to evil, go, and to good come. No. It will happen in a natural way. Of course, Imam alayhi salam would lead and would somehow remove all the obstacles and all these things, but it should happen in a sort of natural way. And that is why the certain things should happen that people realize that faithlessness is evil. Now, of course, we are rushing towards faithlessness, isn't it? I mean, when I say we, you know, we are one entity, human beings. We are one entity. And human being as one entity is rushing towards faithlessness because of the science that they have found, technology and all these things. They have become so arrogant and they feel they don't need God anymore. And one day they realize that this was wrong. They have to go back to faith. They should not rely on what they have created. So evil will go and good will persist. Man plants one mud. This mud is a scale of weight. It's 750 grams. You know, you are familiar with that because this is a Shari thing. And harvest 7, as the verse of Allah Almighty says, it refers to the verse in Surah Baqarah. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَمَثَلُهُمْ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلْ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مَعَتُ حَبَّةٍ. Talking like that, that when he comes, the crops come like that. So lush in their fruition. Fornication, drinking, and usury will go away. And people turn to worship. You see, they don't like these things anymore. They have seen the consequences of these things by now. Low, they turn to worship, low religiosity and praying in congregation. Lives are prolonged. Trusted goods are returned. Trees bear fruit. The evil ones will perish and the good ones remain. There will be no one who would hate Ahlul Bayt. Of course, this is because when Imam comes, he's from the Ahlul Bayt. Everyone would love Ahlul Bayt after he has established this sort of life on the earth. As I said, now think out of the box. Don't think that Imam comes and he's a good leader and everyone says, oh, you are a good leader, let's follow you. No, it doesn't happen like that. And there will be fightings, of course. The evil people, the faithless, would fight him and he would defend and he would fight back. All these things happen. But why he succeeds is because majority now like him. Majority have come to understand that faithlessness, sinning, greed is not good. And why the lives would be prolonged? Why the trees bear fruit? Because of those verses I mentioned, that if people had faith and taqwa, the barakat from the heavens and the earth would come to them. But because they deny, they are kept. We give it by a certain sort of tight measure. Because if we give more, they transgress more. They oppress more. So we keep it somehow at a measure. But at that time, of course, there's no need. You see, now if, imagine the wealth of this world was 3 times, 4 times, or 20 times as it was now. Okay? Do you think everyone would have benefited from that wealth? No. It would have gone in the hand of the powerful to protect the banks, their money, to make weapons, you see, more oppression, more aggression. So that's why Allah says, I keep it at a measure. Because even if I give you more, you don't distribute it wisely or justly. So I keep it at a measure. But at that time, there is no reason for keeping it at a measure. There is no measure anymore. There will be affluence. Again, another tradition from the Sunni sources, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri says, يَتَنَعَّمُ from the Prophet, أُمَّتِي فِي زَمَانِهِ نَعِيمًا لَمْ يَتَنَعَّمُ مِثْلَهُ قَتْ الْبَرُّ وَالْفَاجِرُ. The Prophet said, both righteous and wicked will enjoy such a comfort at this time that they have never experienced a comfort like it. The sky pours rain over them in abundance, and the earth would bring out its vegetation. Now, one very interesting thing here is that there will be wicked ones there as well. We thought that there would be no wicked person at the time of the Imam when he comes, because everyone will become good. Now, here the hadith says no, there will be wicked people too, but they are under the control of the good ones. Now, the good ones are controlled by the evil, the wicked ones. Then the wicked ones would be controlled by good ones. So this human test, human free will, it never goes away. And you, if you think that everyone should become good by the force of Imam alayhi salam, then the whole philosophy of human free will and testing on this life, in this life, would go away. So there will be wicked people, but they will enjoy life in a way that they cannot enjoy it even now when they have the control, because they see the benefits of what comes from this just society. And, of course, enormous wealth. Now, I'm going to ask you certain things about this now. The whole wealth of the world, both inside and outside the earth, I mean, hidden inside the mines and what is outside, will be brought to him. He will say to people, come and take from that for which you, this is a very beautiful hadith. Come and take from that for which you shed blood and cut your relations and committed what Allah had forbidden. So he will give in such a way that no one before him has ever given. Now, in a way, people to acquire wealth before, they had to shed blood, they had to cut relations with their human fellows, they had to do all sorts of wicked things. Now Imam says, look, you did all those for this, come and take. It's all here. There is no need for you to do these things now. Again, the Prophet said, my ummah will enjoy such a comfort at this time that they have never experienced a comfort like it. The earth will expose its fruits and would not treasure anything away from them. The world is piled up in a way that a man would go to Mahdi and says, give me, and he says, take. Now, this is, of course, a very sort of a metaphorical thing. No one would go to Mahdi and say, Ya Mahdi, give me something. And he says, okay, come, here is the Baytul Mal, go and take. No, it's a metaphor that anything you want is there. And يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ عَدْلًا يَفِيضُ الْمَالِ فَيْضًا. He will fill the earth with justice, will bring forth the wealth abundantly. Abundantly. And poverty would vanish. He will judge the judgment of David and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As a result, the earth throws out its treasures and manifests its blessings on that day. You see, as a result of that justice, the earth would manifest its blessings. On that day, one of you will find a recipient for his charity. On that day, no one of you will find a recipient for his charity, as prosperity will include all the believers. And look at this one. The earth will throw out its treasures in a way that people can see it on its surface. Gold, silver, anything would be there for you to just take. And you will look for someone to give him benevolently or to take your zakat from you, but will not find anyone. People will become needless because of what Allah has provided for them from his bounties. Now, here we need different economic theories, isn't it? Economy of abundance rather than economy of scarcity. How that economy works? You know, now, whether we look at the model of socialism or capitalism, both of them are trying to somehow distribute the scarce material, isn't it? Now, then we have everything, and we want to see how to distribute it so that people come and take and use it, and it doesn't go waste, first of all. And secondly, people do not need to work anymore. So, there's a problem, isn't it? There's a problem here. People do not need to work because money is there. You go to Mahdi and say, give me money, and say, just like benefits, okay? You go to council and say, you know, I need £1 million. Why? Because I want to buy a boat. Okay, come, take. This is £1 million, go and buy your boat, for example. Okay, so people don't need to work. It's a problem. That economy has a problem, isn't it? So you tell me, how does it work? Yes. Does everyone agree? Did you hear? He says that people don't work for money. People work because it's the right thing to do. It's their duty. Would we see such a time at all? Is that possible? Is that possible? You know, imagine that all of us in this room are completely needless, whatever we want we have. What do you think we would do? I mean, we would get bored being idle, isn't it? Not doing anything. We have everything. You see, there is one wrong notion in human mind, and that is, I have to work for money. If we think that we have to work to fulfill our human capacity, human duty, then of course there will be a completely different notion. Now, you know, Karl Marx, for socialism, he used to say that work is very fulfilling for workers. They find their identity in work. And therefore, they have the right to work, and everything should be given to them for working. And then he has a theory that when socialism actually prevails, gradually people don't need to work long hours. They work less hours, and then they have time to educate themselves, to learn, and such things. However, there's one very problematic issue with his theory, because he says that people are fulfilled or find their identity by working. And then he says there will come a time where people work less, so it means they find their identity less, isn't it? There's a problem in that philosophy. Now, what if we say that people are somehow pleased, satisfied by doing something for others and for themselves? And this is what will happen at that time. People work, have education, they will find skills and these things, and they offer it because they have to. If they have all money? Imagine there's a doctor, for example, that he doesn't need anything. He has money fully, and he says, okay, I don't need to work anymore, so I go and just enjoy myself. It doesn't satisfy him. He wants to actually use that skill in a way. Yes, you want to say something?
There's actually already a movement of that going on today called the Basic Income Proposal, where because of technology increasingly taking over manual jobs, there may actually not be a need for jobs for human beings in the future. So in fact, there are a couple of hotspots, one in Germany, I think one in Holland, where people are actually being paid what's called a basic income by, at the moment, called crowdfunders, where they're paid enough to be able to live, and they spend their time actually, they're watching these people, when they sit on, you know, on their sofas or their TV, actually a lot of them actually going out and doing what they actually want to do, what they find fulfilling. Interestingly, many of them doing socially valuable work rather than stuff that's needed for generating, their living
requirements. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But the problem is that still, you know, because you give them basic income.
Yeah.
People may not be satisfied with basic income. They may want, for example, mansions, good cars and such things. So by basic income, they cannot have it. But imagine that people have all these things. What they do? Of course, not like some Arab shuyukh, they just spend their time in casinos and such things, that evil would go away at that time, okay? But people would like to fulfill something which is a call of humanity in them. And that is actually the human being, not human being working for money. And I think Sarfaraz was saying something last week about this economy of affluence, isn't it? You were saying something about it. Post-scarcity economy. Or they call it post-capitalism as well. That's people don't work because they need, because things will become free. I was listening to a discussion in BBC last week that someone was saying that actually many things have become free, like information. It has already become free. Previously, you had to buy books or you had to pay lots of money to get information. Now, all this information on the internet for you, it has become free. Maybe other things may become free as well. And what will you do if everything is free? What will you do? Just imagine if after 12 o'clock, we go home and the radio announces that everything from tomorrow is free. What will you do? Well, the first thing we do, we rush to take everything because we fear that this may not continue. Okay? Now, imagine we know that it would continue. Everything is free. You want the car is free, you want home is free, you want to send your children to university is free. Everything is free. Can we live in such a society? It's very strange, isn't it? Now, think out of the box. How this society is going to work? It's very different. And human being would become very different, actually. When society becomes like this, that's what Imam says, Al-Barru, the Prophet, Al-Barru al-Fajr, wicked and good, will enjoy. Because actually there is no need for wickedness anymore. You don't need to be wicked. If you are wicked at that time, then that means there's something wrong inside. Otherwise, you don't need to be wicked. Okay? Have you imagined about that society? It's very difficult. It's very different. I mean, the type of, it's like angels. Why do angels work? Why? You say, of course, because Allah commands them. But no, it's not like that. They fulfill something that they need, the function. That function is part of their identity. Now, in paradise, I tell you, you will work. It's not just like that. You don't do anything and you just sit and recline on your sofas. No, you do work. But that work is part of your identity, just like angels. You become like that. And you feel that these functions should be performed because you fulfill your identity. Anyhow, let's pass on. No, devil is there. As I said, we have wicked people, okay? We have devil and all these things, but you see, there's no incentive anymore. As I said, unless if, for example, there are some people who are against God. Otherwise, why most of the crimes happen because people want things, isn't it? No. I mean, what can devil whisper at that time?
Go for
more? Okay, there is more. Come and take. Come and take. There's more. Go and take more. Whatever you want. I mean, when you see that, you know, you want to collect now because you think that you will need it in the future. But if you think you don't need it in the future, what do you want to do with it? The more you have, the more trouble. So, okay, there's always there. I go and take. It's always there. You know, it's just like, for example, there's a table for food there, and you have to feed yourself from that table for 1 week. If you think that this table is going to be taken away tomorrow, you take lots of it. But if you think that it's there for 1 week, you just take as much as you like, not more than that. Now, these things, the verses I mentioned last week, that don't be surprised. The Quran says that society may become like this. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. If people had been faithful and God-weary, we would have opened to them the blessings from the heaven and the earth. But because they deny, of course, they are meeting the consequences of that. And other verses that I mentioned last week. And then you will have security. Now, this is something mentioned in the Quran. Most of the exegetes say that this is about Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, both Sunni and Shi'i. That Allah has promised those of you who have faith and do righteous deeds that He will surely make them successors in the earth, just as He made those who were before them successors. He will surely establish for them their religion which He has approved for them. And that means that they will establish their faith and they will have power on that. And that He will surely change their state to security after their fear, while they worship Me, not ascribing any parts to Me. So this is something which Quran mentions. And then in traditions we have many, many traditions. I have just chosen a couple of them. لَذَهَبَتِ الشَّحْنَاءُ مِنْ قُلُوبِ الْإِوَادِ Grudge and enmity will leave the hearts. Again, why do we have grudge and enmity? Because we are jealous, people have more, we have less. For example, they have access more to things we don't have, but if all of us have access to everything. And then, of course, as I said, religiosity become more, people become more prone to love each other. So, grudge and enmity will leave the hearts, and the beasts of prey and the livestock will live in peace. Now, this may be metaphorical, that people, wicked people and good people, they live in peace. But some people take it literal, that even in the world of animals, things change. For example, the mice and cats will become friends after so many. Maybe they are given, the cat are given so many mice, says, you don't fight over it with each other. Anyhow, mainly that is metaphorical, that peace will prevail everywhere. And a woman would travel between Iraq and Syria and would not step but on green vegetation. Ah, those deserts all would become green, isn't it? And would have all her ornaments on her without fearing a beast attacking her. Of course, beasts don't want ornaments. It is certainly beasts of human nature. And Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, when our Qa'im rises, he will rule with justice. Inequity will be removed in his days. The road will be secure. The earth will reveal its blessings. He will restore every right to their owners. And what is important here is security. The roads will be secure. So security will be global, worldwide security. From politicians, from gangs, from corrupt people, it will be there. Now, it's not only that. It's not only economy. It's not only worldly life. The spirituality will enhance. The spirituality, so enhancement of spiritual capacity of people. Do you? Oh, it doesn't show anything. Why? Oh, we are actually having them one interval. Let me see what's happened here. Yeah, it shows it here, but it doesn't show it when I put it on. Oh. Hmm? This one you mean? Yes, but I don't know why it doesn't show it when I put it on a slideshow. There's a glitch here, isn't it? Anyhow, let's read it from here. So, expansion in man's knowledge and technology. Now, knowledge will be several times, maybe not comparable with the knowledge that we have now, about different sciences, technology, whether it's biology, whether it's space, whether it's anything. going deep into the atoms and all these things, it will be something that people will be amazed, the things that could be done at that time. إذا قام قائمنا ورع يده على رؤوس العباد فجمع به أقولهم وأكمل به أخلاقهم. Imam al-Baqir said, when our Qa'im rises, he will put his hand over people's head by which he will complete their intellects and will perfect their traits. Now, both akhlaq and knowledge. Now, of course, not literally putting his hand over people's head. It means that he's overseeing these things to happen. And he will make a sort of scientific movement, knowledge, technology, everything, in which that people would expand in their knowledge. وَتُؤْتُونَ الْحِكْمَةِ فِي زَمَانِهِ People will be given wisdom in his time. To the extent that, this is very interesting, this hadith is very interesting, look at it. To the extent that, a lady will judge among people in her house according to the book of God and the sunnah of the prophet. Means you don't go to court anymore. You go to your auntie and you say, my auntie judge based on the book of God and, for example, between us, and the judgment will be sanctioned. It will be sanctioned. So imagine a society in which the courts are in the houses. Yes. As I said, we may have wicked people, not fighting for money or anything like that, maybe for other things, for example. If someone brings an injury to other person out of grudge, of course grudge will be much less, but still there are wicked people there. And when we say that a woman may actually judge in her house, it means that the courts are gone already. There is no courts. And there is no need for courts, actually. If anything happened, you can go to any person. I mean, women are mentioned at that time because women were not educated at that time. Now, of course, we see women are educated and we are getting close to that, isn't it? We are getting close to it. The more we actually advance in time, the more we realize that we are getting close to these things which are one day people could not imagine. And now, of course, we can have better understanding of that. And, apart from knowledge, which we are seeing, as I said, we are seeing somehow preludes to it. This stem cell technology or stem cell knowledge is amazing, isn't it? I mean, you can make human beings out of it. And you can imagine at the time of Imam al-Asr what sort of technology we had. I come at that at the end, that there is no disease that cannot be cured. And we are actually moving towards these things. But when Imam comes, of course, this sort of inquest into the world of God will be deeper and deeper, and our knowledge will become deeper. Some people say that such things are somehow tampering with intruding into God's realm. Do you think is that the case? I mean, by this biotechnology, the genetic engineering and such things, do you think we are intruding in the world of God? Imagine one day we design human beings. Are we intruding in the world of God or not? Because Christians are very sensitive on this issue. They say that absolutely. You know, I remember about 10 years ago, in America, it wasn't allowed to research on stem cells. And I remember exactly, I heard it from David Radio that Ronald Reagan actually issued an order allowing stem cell research in America. And I think before that, Ayatollah Khamenei had allowed it in Iran, the stem cell research and such things. Because the stem cell research is somehow creating human organs, creating human, full human beings sometimes. So what do you think? Is this intrusion in the world of God, in the realm of God? Yeah. If we can do it, it means that God has allowed it, isn't it? If we can do it, it means that God has given something, some sort of knowledge, which we can somehow probe into things and work on them the way God actually creates. Now, enhancement of a spiritual capacity, of course, this hadith can be used both for both sides, material knowledge and spiritual knowledge. Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam said, knowledge is 27 letters. All that the prophets have brought with them are two letters. So this is more like spiritual knowledge. All spiritual knowledge given to human being up till now is just two letters of that 27 letters. So the people do not know until this day but those two. When our Qa'im rises, he will bring out the other 25 letters and will disseminate them among the people and will add to them the other two, will add them to the other two to spread the whole 27 letters. Now imagine, well, we cannot imagine. We cannot imagine what type of knowledge, what type of spiritual knowledge, what type of knowledge about God people may have at the time of Imam alayhi salam. And in Nahjul Balagha, their sight will be brightened by revelation. The delicacies of commentary of the Quran, of course, will be put in their ears, and they will be given drinks of wisdom morning and evening. Of course, TV, I don't know, at that time we may not have TV, we just walk and have something in front of us and see everything. I don't know what sort of technology we'll have at that time. And we are probably, we don't even need to listen, just some injection in the mind of, I don't know. Who knows? Things may change in a dramatic way. Imam As-Sadiq said, when our Qa'im rises, God will extend for our Shia in their hearing and their vision to the extent that there will be no need for posts between them. Oh, this is, I think we have discussed this before. This has been already fulfilled, that we don't need posts. I mean, we have internet and such things. Or maybe it means even you don't need internet anymore at that time. You just talk to each other without any sort of technology. There will be one faith. There will be one faith eventually, because initially, of course, there will be Christians, Jews, Muslims. There will be dialogue between them at the time of Imam. After Jesus supports Imam al-As alayhi salam, of course, the Christian world will believe and will become one. Jews are not, of course, very significant. I mean, we are about 4 billion Muslims and Christians and 14 million Jews. Not very significant. I don't think that would make tip the balance at all. I mean, even if they believe or they do not believe, it doesn't tip the balance. 14 million, 4 billion, nothing. And then you put the rest of the people. So mainly the faith is one faith. And people all believe in one religion of God. We have mentioned this before and have actually discussed this in length, that there is only one religion of God. And that one religion has been preached by all the prophets. But then later on, people have made it into different faiths. Christianity, Islam, Judaism is only one faith. And Imam will explain that to people, that there's only one faith. We all believe in one thing. But the followers of every prophet have made these distinctions. فَتَقَطَّعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ كُلُّ حَزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرْهُونَ. They actually torn apart this one faith into different faiths. And every follower of every faith are very happy with their own faith, for example. There will be one faith, and that one faith is Islam. Not Islam in the sense that we are talking about it now. That Islam, the one religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that everyone should follow. Now, Imam As-Sadiq said, O Mufazzal, I swear by God that all differences between religions and creeds will disappear. and the faith will be one, as Allah the Mighty Glorified has said, the religion with God is only Islam. Inna deen inda Allah al-Islam. That means that one religion of God. And Miqdad reports from the Prophet saying that I heard the Prophet saying there will remain no house or tents on the face of the earth unless Allah will bring into it the kalima of Islam. That's, of course, the one faith of God. And then we'll have real peace. We never can have real peace now. Here we need, of course, these tridents to keep the peace, isn't it? The sort of deterrence, very horrifying deterrence we need. And God knows, maybe these deterrents one day kill the whole humanity. But at that time, there will be real peace. You don't need weapons to actually keep the peace. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, I said to the Prophet, is Mahdi from us? Ali Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or from other than us? The Messenger of God said, he will be from us. God will seal the religion by him as he opened it by us. People will be saved from fitnas by us as they will be saved, as they were saved from shirk by us, means by this family. So Imam al-Mahdi will relieve people from fitna as the Prophet relieved people from shirk. By us, Allah will make peace between their hearts after fitnas, making them like, after the fitnas have come, and make them like brothers. And again, Imam Ali, when our Qa'im rises, the sky sends down its rain and the earth brings out its crops, and the hatred and enmity leaves the heart of people. I said, as I said, except wicked ones. There will be always some wicked people. And God knows why they have this grudge and wickedness in their hearts. Because there is no reason for it anymore. And there will be universal altruism. Everyone thinks about others rather than thinking about themselves. He casts compassion and mercy between them. So they prefer others over themselves and distribute the wealth equally. The poor becomes needless. Now, actually, the term poor is used for before the time of Imam, because at the time of Imam, there is no poor anymore. Okay? We become needless. No one is superior over others. The old has mercy over the young, and the young honors the old. They believe in haq and act and judge based on that, based on haq. Again, you see that sense of humanity, that people want to help others, people want to fulfill something in themselves, will manifest itself in that sort of economy in which no one has any needs. And the environment, the planet, and we have traditions which says that not only people, the birds even, will enjoy that sort of society because they care about the environment. He would fill the earth with justice after it's filled with oppression. You know, this is, of course, the main theme always, fill the earth with justice. During his reign, the inhabitants of the earth and the inhabitants of the heaven and the birds in the air are pleased. And here, inhabitants of the heaven probably somehow leans towards people in other places, other planets or something like that. Maybe, we don't know. But لا يبقى في الأرض خراب إلا أمر. There will remain no this desolate place on the earth unless it is built. So the earth will become a good place. This whole issue of environment, climate, everything will be in place. And this comes as I said, this comes after people actually wreck the earth, make a havoc on the earth with wars, bloodshed, and such things, and with the weaponry that they have at that time. All this come after that. And also, what will be even more interesting, enhancement of life. Life will be more healthy. People would have more health, less problems. No blind, crippled, or disease afflicted will be found on earth. How come no blind or disease afflicted will be found on earth? Because as soon as you go blind, they change your eye, isn't it? Stem cells, they create one eye for you, they put it in place, isn't it? I mean, as I said, knowledge, science, technology will become really, really advanced in a way that human beings really know that there is, for everything there is a replacement, there is a cure, for every disease there is a medicine, for example. Now, today we had the news of womb transplants. Did you hear about it? Womb transplant. You see, ladies who couldn't give birth now can give birth. Now imagine at the time of Imam al-Asr what will happen. I mean, the knowledge will be so advanced that everything, for anything that you don't have, you lose from your body or the health that you lose, it will be very easy for you to change. Now, why all that happens at the end of the time? Why not at the beginning of the time? Now, one reason I mentioned last week, but there are other reasons as well. Can you tell me? Anyone? Because human being was sent to the earth to find out for himself, isn't it? To find out for himself. Of course, the people at the time of Adam alayhi salam and Nuh alayhi salam, they hadn't found all these things. Now we have found it. And we will find more and more and more until comes the end of the time. And we realize that these things are not going to make good society for us. Unless we have faith. Unless we are good. Otherwise, the more we are advanced, the more you see, now people are afraid that, well, if they have this technology of genetic engineering, what if they make design babies? There's design soldiers. You see? Design soldiers. Soldiers designed to kill. I mean, these films about, in science fiction, that they design things to go on other planets and kill and such things, you know? One day these may become true. People may do it. And there were things which we never ever imagined would happen. It's now very easy, going to the moon, going to the Mars, and all these things. So, human beings were destined to know these things. These are an asma of Allah, names of Allah. We know it. Okay, we can learn it. However, after knowing all these things, they realize that this does not give them happiness. This may bring more problem, more bloodshed for them. And therefore, at the end of the time, when this knowledge has developed, Imam will come and teach us, teach humanity, how to use them. And then, of course, when he learn how to use our knowledge, our science, our khilafah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then, of course, Allah will pour his bounties upon our head. Next week, inshallah, we'll talk about what should we do now as those who believe in Imam al-Asr, alayhi salam. Of course, we cannot somehow make a sort of communication with him, contact him or something like that. But there are other things that we can do. There are certain myths that we believe in about our relationship with Imam al-Asr and such things that we have to remove from our minds as well. So inshallah, next we will discuss to conclude our discussion about Imam al-Asr in these 5 sessions. Now, any question, comment, anything? Yes. Yeah. As I said, you see, it's just to show us that it was possible to live in peace. So, probably shouldn't last long, as you say. It shouldn't. I mean, it's not something which we expect to, I mean, people to live in for a very long period. But still, that short term, we don't know what's the scale of shorts. Short or long, I mean, in this scale of human history, we don't really know. There are traditions which say that he ruled for 7 or 9 years, for example. But they are not very reliable. Also, there are traditions which say that after him came, him would come other imams, other just imams who rule. But all these are just the speculations, and we have to leave it for that time, inshallah, to see. That he will establish, he has the rule. Yeah, he will have it. Couple of years, or even more. Yeah. Some years for him to bring that justice. We discussed last time, there's an appearance, and there's an advent. Because when he reappears, of course, he should be in hiding for a while, for a couple of years or a few months, because people want to find him, to kill him, and everything will be quite hidden, clandestine, until he will come out, and then there will be fight against those who want to kill him, and that takes long time until he establishes everything on the earth, in the whole global scale. And after that, he will rule for 7 or 9 years. Yes. Anything else? Yes. No, living healthy doesn't mean that you live forever. I mean, we may have a lifespan, say for example, if we live for 80 years or 90 years, and if long lives are prolonged, I think that is fulfilled already. Life are prolonged. I mean, initially the life expectation was about 40, 50 years, now it's 70, 80 years. Lives are prolonged. However, you can have that life in health without any disease, without any disability, or you may have diseases and disabilities. What that this say that people live without that, without disability, without disease, healthy life, and then they die. So it doesn't affect the growth of population. And then again, we have to think, what is the capacity of Earth to feed human beings? You see, now the rich countries are trying to control the growth of population in poorer countries because they are afraid. They come and take their wealth. Now, the Earth is feeding 7 billion people now. Maybe it can feed 70 billion people if the wealth is justly distributed, if everything, everywhere is sort of a good place for cultivation, everywhere is green, can feed 70 billion people. So we are living with the concept of the capitalist society. That is very important. We cannot somehow let go of that. Now, Jeremy Corbyn is trying to do that, but it's very difficult. You see, everyone says he's mad. He's mad, because he's now actually giving us a different perspective to society. And of course, Jeremy Corbyn is a human being, but we can imagine when Imam alayhi salam comes, he's a human being, of course, but someone with more knowledge. When he comes, what sort of perspective of life, what sort of angle from which we can look at life he would give us. And I'm sure the earth can actually feed many, many more people than are now on the earth without people suffering from poverty, from disease and such things. Yes. You know, Akhir Zaman is after the prophets. Is Akhir Zaman. But how long is Akhir Zaman? We don't know. We don't know. We may live in the end of time, but end of time maybe 1,000 years, 10,000 years. We don't know. But we are getting close. You see, many of these traditions are already in either fulfilled or on the way of fulfillment. Especially about these disabilities, health, such things. There are windows which are opening to us which we didn't know about it before. Okay? Shall I see you next week?